Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, friends, we got through another week. It's just you and me, so we'll get to the grab a pencil portion in a little bit. So it'll be a short show this week because things come up and life happens, and that's really okay. But the big film opening this week, and this was one I was happy to take Mrs. Soucy to go see, but yes, the new musical version, film version of West Side Story. Yes, directed by Steven Spielberg. Tony Kushner is doing the screenplay, and man, thank goodness he's doing this. Now, yes, they have the casting a little more accurate, a little more correct culturally than back in 1961. This is an example of both musicals can exist in the same universe. I'm not doing which one is better than the other. It's what right out of the gate, you have a neighborhood under destruction and under construction because they're tearing down old buildings for the new Lincoln Center, which I thought was a brilliant move on Tony Kushner's part. So we see a neighborhood in flux and two gangs that are just trying, not only fighting each other, but fighting for their territory, and not just against each other, but also the city. So there's that aspect of it. Spielberg, of course, is a great camera, works great with the camera, and makes more than, I'm not the only person to say, he takes the skills that are his strengths and his weaknesses, which can sometimes be sappy or sentimental, don't really show up a lot in this. Solid dancing and singing from everyone, especially from your five, you know, from Tony, Maria, Bernardo, Anita, and Riff, I should mention. Ansel Elgort, who plays Tony, is probably the weakest of the five, but we've heard weaker vocals in musicals this year, and it's been a pretty good year of noted musicals. So, but that wasn't that big of a distraction. And yes, the less you think about Ansel Elgort off camera, the better. But really solid performances from the cast. It was great to see Rita Moreno, who's also a producer on this, with a nice twist on an old character, in this case, in Valentina. So these two can survive in the same universe, as I mentioned. You don't have to fight them. I'm the same guy who appreciates Willy Wonka and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory because of what they got right. Yes, Johnny Depp is tiresome, but the storyline of a good kid is still there. Just like the fight between two gangs and the love of two people is still here in this one. Really well done. Better than I had anticipated. Yeah, check it out. And check it out on the big screen, obviously. This is really worth checking out. And you don't have to run back and watch the original 1961 film version. You can if you want. I guess the one little film nerd in me that kind of it made me tickle was in the first one was the fact that Robert Wise had to dig a hole in the street to get a particular shot. You don't have to do that these days. But yeah, it's highly recommended. Well worth checking out. Go check out West Side Story. Now, I'm in the midst of screener heck. Not really heck. This is just I have award screeners that, as a member of the Indiana Film Journalists Association, we're going to be meeting very soon to discuss and hand out awards. I know these are first world problems, and that means stuff that has been sent to me for regular reviews have been kind of put on the side. So I'm going to hopefully catch up with that Hopefully by the end of the month. But there's a few films I do want to mention I got to watch before the award screener purge. First off, from Film Movement, a really cool documentary called Aalto, which is about a famous Finnish architect, Alvar Aalto. And it's interesting because if you're a fan of architecture, you can marvel at the buildings. And also the fact that a man who was an artist who was ahead of his time at one point, and then while the art hasn't changed, time and society has changed, his work near the end of his life was deemed outdated. Think about music, think about styles of painting, think about films that, were ahead of its time, then dated, and then eventually comes around again. And that's kind of the story of this. So Virpi Suutari did the film, A-A-L-T-O, that's on Film Movement. Also for the holidays, a nice little family film called Sweet Thing from Alexandra Rockwell, shot mostly in black and white, and it's described as those days when you're young and the day could go on forever. And the fact that we have two siblings, a 15-year-old Billy and her 11-year-old brother Nico, dealing with their own little adventures to distract them from their parents who are not together. Nice to see Will Patton in this one as the dad who's loving but it's got problems. So just a fun slice of life. That, yes, a dysfunctional family can have a heart, too. I think because we just got done with Thanksgiving and we're getting into the December holidays, that dysfunctional families are easy fodder for certain films. And this family's treated with respect. So look for Sweet Thing on Film Movement. And then from IndiePix Films is a fascinating documentary called Witkin and Witkin. It's from Trisha Ziff, and it's a documentary about two artists, two identical twins, who we have Joel Peter, who is a photographer, and his twin brother Jerome, who's a painter and an educator, teacher. And it talks about their approach to their each individual art and their relationship with each other, which is almost non-existent, even though they have wind up getting an exhibit together. But just a fascinating look at two different lives, even though they I think as siblings, and especially in the case of identical twins, of always being lumped together, and these two go in the exact opposite direction of that. So fascinating, really cool stuff to watch, and excellent work on both of their art. These are gentlemen whose work I was not familiar with until I checked it out. So look for Witkin and Witkin on IndiePix Films. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Before we get to grabbing a pencil and find out what you've been watching, just a few notes of some events going around, out and about. On December 18th will be the Scarlet Lane and Sammy Terry Holiday Spooktacular, which is happening in McCordsville. That's for Saturday, December 18th from 6 to 10 p.m. Go to SammyTerry.com and go to the appearances section. So there you go, Sammy Terry and Scarlet Lane. And I have to tell you, Scarlet Lane beer that's named after Sammy, pretty good. So might have to get some of those in the bathtub for the house party. But that's for another time. Over at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin, yes, this weekend, Friday and Saturday, December 10th and 11th at 2 and 7:30 p.m., and then Sunday, December 12th at 2 and 5:30 p.m., It's a Wonderful Life. So I got to host the screening of this at Theater Arts for Lawrence Theater at the Fort with my buddy Jay Hemphill. And I have to tell you, friends, I can't remember if I told you this on the show last week, but we did it the Saturday after Thanksgiving. We had 70 people in attendance, which is really damn good for a new film series like this. And as I went up and talked to the audience at the beginning, I always ask how many here are seeing this film for the first time. 3 people out of 70 had not seen that film. So, and for a lot of folks, it was a chance to see It's a Wonderful Life on a big screen. So anyway, you got that chance in Franklin, so don't miss that. And much love to my Bedford Falls brothers and sisters. They know who they are. And I'll mention it, December 15th at 3 and 7 p.m., the Glenn Miller Orchestra. They have 2 performances. Thursday, December 16th at 7 p.m., the Shop Around the Corner. That's apparently a members only. I don't know how you become a member, so go to historicartcrafttheater.org for all the information there. And then December 17th and 18th at 2 and 7:30 p.m. and December 19th, my birthday, 2 and 5:30 p.m., National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. So there's that. Over at the Can-Can on December 9th, depending on when you're listening to this, Gremlins with Vanity Rex. Pompano Boy on December 10th. Don't Look Up on December 10th. Gremlins on December 11th. Whelm on December 11th and 12th. And on December 12th, Love Actually, as well as Batman Returns. All of that at the Can-Can Indy. Go to cancanindy.com for all the information there. All right, friends, grab a pencil. Let's find out what you've been watching over the last week. Hopefully you've been able to watch some new films, or at least films that are new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And we start on Twitter with Liz, who writes, The Power of the Dog, highly recommended. And I just got around to watching that, Liz, and I really enjoyed it myself. I'm glad Jane Campion's back in making feature films. Fascinating performance from Benedict Cumberbatch, who I don't think we've seen play a character quite like this. Kirsten Dunst and Jesse, and her husband Jesse, work well together. And it's a fascinating look at the gender roles when it comes to the Old West. So, yeah, definitely worth checking out. And Jesse Plemons, I'm sorry, my brain drifts because I'm older. Anyway, that is over. Back to her list. Maps of the Stars, which she deemed awful, Avoid at All Cost. And then Single All the Way, sappy, silly, predictable, everything I want in a movie when I'm too tired to think. Thank you, Liz. I'm guessing that's a Hallmark or one of those holiday films. Anyway, Carrie writes, Deanny and Divine Meet the Apocalypse was yesterday's midnight deep cut Netflix viewing. Surprised how much I enjoyed it and love their dog devotion. Thank you, Carrie. Ben writes The Lost Daughter, which I also wound up watching, and it's a really solid performance from Olivia Colman and Dakota Johnson, and it's directed by Maggie Gyllenhaal, and it almost, if you watch the trailer, it feels like it's dipping into Fatal Attraction territory, and it doesn't quite go there. It's more psychological stalking than physical stalking. There is some of that, but it doesn't turn into a big dumb horror movie in the end. I don't think I'm giving away a whole lot, but really nice tension in that film. So kudos to the ladies involved in that project. Okay, we go to Facebook. We go to last week's post, because Facebook does that. Randy writes, The Beatles Get Back. Speaking of The Beatles Get Back, the best entertainment this century, or at least since Breaking Bad, has not been films on TV. You just got to keep looking, Randy. I get it. This television and streaming have gotten better, but just got to look for the right films. So Bob writes, and this is from last week's subject, of people you didn't know whose work you like, and then you found out that they had a musical theater background. And, of course, Bob reminding us that Jerry Orbach was the original Billy Flynn in the first staging of Chicago on Broadway. Thank you, Bob. I use Jerry Orbach as my example because I saw him do Plaza Suite on HBO and, of course, played a number of films in the 80s like Prince of the City, Crimes and Misdemeanors, and it really wasn't until Beauty and the Beast that I knew he had a musical theater background. So that's what happens when you're a knucklehead like me. Michael writes, I was on a Mario Bava and Dario Argento kick this week. Wow. So it was Black Sabbath, Black Sunday, and Deep Red. Okay, Michael, very good. Anthony writes, The Power of the Dog, Marriage Story, Dr. Strangelove, Kenneth Branagh's As You Like It, The Man Who Killed Don Quixote, and Red Notice. Good choices there, Anthony. I need to revisit Branagh's As You Like It, Another Part of the Forest. But yeah. Andy writes, Peggy Sue got married, and to answer your bonus question, maybe off topic, but Suzanne Waldman, Yankees radio analyst. I've been listening to her in games for 20 years and only recently found out she was a Broadway musical actress in the 70s. Every now and then, she nails the anthem from the booth. That's all right, Andy. That's a great example of, yeah, knowing someone else's resume a little later on in life. Joni writes, it's a bit late to answer, but I adore Hugh Laurie. Cool. Okay. I think maybe it's his musical background. He's done a couple of New Orleans jazz albums and you're just finding out about this? I'm just guessing. Lee writes Belfast, young Jude Hill for Best Actor. Good campaign there, Lee. Back to Facebook. Eric writes, correcting a huge oversight, The Lion in Winter. And the documentary, If I Leave Here Tomorrow, the Lynyrd Skynyrd documentary. Friends, this just happens. We all have oversights, and I'm glad you're able to correct those. Brian chiming in, it's one of our Christmas faves. See if you can get your hands on a copy of the Patrick Stewart Glenn Close version, too. Stewart doesn't have O'Toole's manic scenery-chewing gusto, but it's a legit take on the script. I agree with you on that, Brian, and I own both of those. And yeah, I remember, you know, there's always the discussions online on what is and isn't a Christmas movie. You could throw Lion in Winter on that one. I think I did a post that was making fun of Die Hard. I remember showing this to Emma, and it was, I remember she was in a mood, I was in a mood, and we wound up watching it. I was determined to watch it on Christmas Day, and we watched it, and when it was over, she looked at me and went, "You're lucky. This was really, really good." And so I back away sometimes when it comes to film choices in the Soucy household, except when I'm doing award seasons like right now. But yeah, that was dodging a bullet, but it was worth taking a chance. Okay, back to the list. Alan writes The Power of the Dog. Dustin writes Sherlock Jr. from 1924 and the most recent TV broadcast of Annie Live. Kurt writes Hallmark's Hitched for the Holidays. It's a Hanukkah Christmas crossover film, one of the few that I could find for that for my mixed Bell Trace audience. Okay, Kurt, congratulations. Joshua writes, it was Christopher Guest Week at our house. A Mighty Wind, Best in Show, For Your Consideration, and Mascots. And then King Richard, which he deemed excellent. Jed writes, watched Eyes Without a Face for the first time, and not the Billy Idol music video. Really enjoyed it. Thank you, Jed. Josh writes, I watched Basketball 2 days ago. It's pretty good. And that has the best contribution to Jenny McCarthy in cinema ever. And yeah, Trailer Hitch. Jessica writes, Malignant, Soul, and Cowboy Bebop, the live action series. Michael writes, Far From the Madding Crowd, 1968, and The Power of the Dog. And, very good there, Michael. I also acknowledge there was a remake of Far From the Madding Crown done a few years ago with Carey Mulligan. That's also very good. Craig writes, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? I am, George. I am. Pat writes, Licorice Pizza. I liked it. One of my top movies of the year. I didn't realize it had the same, some real kinds of inspiration, and even people in it who were reading some more of it today, I think made me like it even more. I thought Philip Seymour Hoffman's son did a great first performance, as did the female lead, and that I only knew from hearing her name associated with music. Thank you, Pat. Kate writes Misery, cock-a-doodie. David writes Power of the Dog and Get Back. Okay, then he writes, technically a documentary, but eh. Technically a documentary series. But I get where you're going, David. Yes, friends, you don't have to ask. Documentaries do count when it comes to this list. Dana writes Casablanca. Robert writes, I watched the new Space Jam. I found it to be better than I expected. Some laughs and some tears. It held my attention for 2 hours without me thinking when is this going to be over. In comparison to The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh and the first Space Jam, I'd say it holds up and is of its time. I give it a 4 out of 5. Robert, you may have a job as a basketball film correspondent sometime. Let me know how you felt about Semi-Pro, which is supposed to be set and filmed in my beloved hometown of Flint, Michigan. Dylan writes, She Mob, 1968, an exploitation movie about a girl gang who kidnap a gigolo and emasculate him. It's a disgusting parade of fetishes, perversions, and immoral behaviors. I loved it. what are your thoughts on this one? Oh, he's asking Julie, not me. Oh, whew, okay. And Beat Girl. A young Christopher Lee runs a burlesque house and tries to recruit a young posh girl who has fallen prey to the beatnik lifestyle. I give it 3 out of 5 myths. Julie chimes in that Dylan was asking, I'm in agreement. She Mob is definitely the superior movie here, Even the soundtrack slaps harder than the one for Beat Girl, which is about the beat scene. A film really has to work to provide more delightfully filthy entertainment than Big Shim and Crew. Besides, I really mostly wanted to punch Beat Girl in the face. Well, Dylan, Julie, thank you for your contribution to the film show. I love my listeners and my posters and my readers. Denise writes, A Boy Nate Called Christmas, fresh take on the Santa origin story. Joe writes, The Power of the Dog, The Homecoming, A Christmas Story from 1971, Disney's A Christmas Carol from 2009, A Castle for Christmas, and Joe Pickett. Scott writes, La Piscine. Chris writes, Christopher Lloyd, Nightmare Alley, Cyrano, Killing the Shepherd, The Humans, Procession, Come On, Come On, Disfluency, Don't Look Up, Titane, and Licorice Pizza. Jamie writes, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Noel, Holiday in Handcuffs, Snow Globe, and Elf on the Shelf. Cassie writes, The Power of the Dog. Oh, Jamie and Cassie together. Hello, ladies. Patty writes, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Mark writes, No Time to Die, The Power of the Dog. The latter much better than expected, the latter much, much worse. Craig deserved a better send-off. Cassandra writes, Road to Perdition. Amy writes, I watch Hallmark movies. Does that count? It is Christmas. Sure. That's what they make them for, apparently. Casey writes, Pottersville, so barely a Christmas movie, but if you want to see Michael Shannon as a hero and Tom Lennon do a horrible Aussie accent, thank you, Casey. Don writes, East of Eden, Rebel Without a Cause, and Red, White, Black, and Blue. Robert Muggy, I got him back on the show. I think I say that almost every week. Went a little Beatles crazy this week with 8 hours of The Beatles Get Back and 3 hours of McCartney 3-2-1, but also managed to sneak in some Dana Andrews and Gene Tierney in Where the Sidewalk Ends, directed by Otto Preminger, as well as some Glenda Jackson with Stevie. Thank you, Robert. Ronnie writes, The Shining, the first time I'm ever seeing it, wasn't impressed. The directing was great, but Stephen King isn't my cup of tea. Polar Express, my daughter thoroughly stayed engaged with the film. I hadn't seen it in years. I dozed off when they were arriving at the North Pole. I woke up when Santa was talking to the boy. Thank you, Ronnie. Jennifer writes, The Last Duel, directed by Ridley Scott, and she deemed it terrible. And then Wayne chimed in a little bit. Wayne refers to it as a Rashomon-style takedown of toxic masculinity. I refer to it as a long and expensive reminder that men are terrible, except I use different words. Jennifer writes, I thought Three Viewpoints was pretty darn similar and felt like I was watching the movie twice. Matt Damon's mullet was pretty terrible. They used too much modern vernacular, but the end duel was indeed intense. And let's never forget Ben Affleck's prancing performance. It just made me tickle. It just made me giggle, too. Deb writes, Power of the Dog, The Electric Life of Louis Wayne, and Elf. James writes, The Nightmare Before Christmas and the original Black Christmas from 1974. Doug writes, Black and Tan, a 1929 Duke Ellington short. Check and double check. All right, Amos and Andy. My Favorite Wife from 1940. Dementia 13 from 1963, Coppola's first film. In Autumn Afternoon, 1962. The Mitchells versus the Machines. Passing, The Power of the Dog, Respect, and Annie Live, if you count it. Sure, I count it. Why not? Lou Harry writes, Drive My Car, Cyrano, Disfluency, Nightmare Alley, Don't Look Up, The Card Counter, Titane, Power of the Dog, and Pig. And then Sam Watermeyer refers to Disfluency as among my top favorites at the moment. So there you go. Doug writes, The Man Who Invented Christmas and Christmas Chronicles 1. Lucinda writes, Little Women from 2019, Miracle on 34th Street, Gremlins, and Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. Judy writes Dead Poets Society and says it was her son's first viewing of it, as well as The Way Back. Jeff writes Watched Argo, better than I remembered. John writes Monsters, Inc., the documentary Val, and then sent a note with a note to me saying, Your review earlier this summer was spot on. Kind of hard to watch at times, but I'm glad I did. Thank you, John. Secret Life of Arrietty, his introduction to Ghibli. The Family, good but not bad, not great. The Power of the Dog, The Year Without a Santa Claus, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, The Dennis the Menace Christmas, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and Frosty Returns. We're getting in the television stuff there, friends. Daniel writes Dark Passage, Ghostbusters Afterlife, The Girl in the Swing, Being John Malkovich, The Great Train Robbery, which one, though, La Fille de Lure, and Before Night Falls. Thank you, Daniel. Austin, Medium Cool Podcast, I swear we'll get together, which is something I now say every week. Tick, Tick, Boom. Taylor writes Red Notice and Red, The Unsuspected. Okay, I can't quite read all of this, Khalif, but Khalif watched Dolomite Is My Name, and great one for the entire family with grandmom and the kids. And as I wrote it, seriously, it's a perfect double feature with Tim Burton's Ed Wood, and make sure you put your weight up on it. So thank you, Khalif. Kevin writes, Get Back, tried Hamilton but bailed out after 30 minutes, okay? Glenn is trying to be cute and writing Dune the Christmas Special, and Matt writes in Dune Saves Christmas. All right, moving on. Gary writes The Uncanny, Side Hackers, and The Atomic Brain, all Mystery Science Theater fodder. The Dismembered, Golden Temple Amazons, Amazonia, The Catherine Mills Story, Diamonds of Kilimanjaro, Chariots of the Gods, Things, and Witch House. Michelle writes Behind Enemy Lines, Divergent, Insurgent, and Allegiant. Molly writes Die Hard, Home Sweet Home Alone, Murder on the Blackpool Express, Death on the Tyne, Dial M for Middlesbrough, and Batman Gotham Guy Gaslight. Is Angela Lansbury in that one? Nick Rogers writes Don't Look Up, Nightmare Alley, The Power of the Dog, The Rescue, Respect, Portal Runner, Dune, Luca, Ciao Alberto, Drive My Car, Encounter, and Wild Indian. Britt writes Home Alone, Home Alone 2, Encanto, and Psycho. Megan writes King Richard. Frank writes To Ten, and wow, what a messed up Palme d'Or film. Yeah, Frank, I couldn't get into it as much as some others, where we have somebody who has a plate put in their head and winds up getting pregnant, and... it's a lot, friends. Not my cup of tea. But yeah, I got the Palme d'Or, so there's that. Rick writes Land. Joan writes A River Runs Through It. Mike writes, like many, it was Get Back for me. Melissa writes The Polar Express because, believe it or not, I had never seen it from start to finish. That's okay, Melissa. We all have those, so I'm glad you got to finally watch it from start to finish. David writes Tick, Tick, Boom, The Fall, Spirited Away, and Season 2 of Yellowstone. Abby writes Ghostbusters Afterlife, thoroughly enjoyed it. Sean writes Inside and the Star Wars Holiday Special with Riff Tracks. Good call there, Sean. Oh, my dear friend Rita Cohn writes in, Does Nature on WFYI 1 count? I watched the special on 1,000 bees in a photographer's garden during COVID shutdown. He discovered his own magnificent, vibrant world buzzing out his door. A great reminder to see the big events in this small world surrounding where we live. It was filled with all the action we expect from the silver screen. Thank you, Rita. And great holidays to you, love. Jeff writes, 42 and King Richard. Terry writes, American Experience, Citizen Hearst, Parts 1 and 2, It's a Wonderful Life, umpteenth rewatch on a big screen in a vintage theater as part of an appreciative audience. Thank you, Terry. On the Bowery, God Told Me To, and then deemed it a wonderfully wacky movie. Green Lantern, The French Dispatch, in a cinema, meticulously made film from Wes Anderson, pretty much requires a second viewing to process everything. And Nightmare Alley, which I can't talk about that yet. The French Dispatch, I liked it. I wanted to love it. And I think a number of critics like myself kind of set the bar high with Wes Anderson. So the fact that it's a good film, but not a great film feels like a letdown. But yeah, it's probably worth watching a second time. We'll probably do that when Emma gets home from college. So. Moveen writes a TCM binge of Treasure of the Sierra Madre, Casablanca, Niagara, Bus Stop, Houseboat, Father of the Bride, Cabaret, The Originals, Ocean's 11, The King of Cool documentary about Dean Martin, Wuthering Heights, A Bridge Too Far, Little Women, and Pillow Talk. Thank you. Jay writes Free Guy, The Eternals, and Ghostbusters Resurrection. Mario writes Amelie. Linda writes Power of the Dog. Michael writes Nightmare Alley. Randy writes A Cluster Funk Christmas and Get Back. I gotta say that carefully. Stan writes The Hunter, Steve McQueen's last film. Vandy writes The Replacements with Keanu Reeves. And finally, Gretchen writes Hunt for the Wilder People and the Starling. And there you go. That is what you have been watching this week. Good list, friends. I know it's colder and more likely we're going to stay inside. So, yeah, keep at it. And hope you're able to watch some films that are good or at least good or new. Okay, let me try that again. I always want you to see good films. I want you to see great films. I want you to see wonderfully bad movies if that is your cup of tea and that's what rings your cinematic bell. So hopefully you found some titles that are new or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. Yep, this is the show, friends, warts and all. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie, you deserve it. There's plenty out there. Okay, I gotta end the show with some shameless plugging. If you go to the Midwest Film Journal website, MidwestFilmJournal.com, they have a series of articles called Bond Voyage about the James Bond films. Lots of things as far as rankings and comments on individual pictures, that sort of thing. Well, on December 8th, they published my commentary called Bond Voyage, A Valentine to Miss Moneypenny. And it's basically the history of my favorite Bond girl. And if you're a longtime listener to Film Sociology, you know why. So anyway, it's a fun read of Valentine and Miss Moneypenny on the Midwest Film Journal page, MidwestFilmJournal.com. So there you go, and enjoy that. Anyway, go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. And until next time, take care, everybody. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
Moneypenny, what gives?
Me, given an ounce of encouragement. You never take me to dinner looking like this, James. You never take me to dinner, period.
I would, you know. Only Em would have me court-martialed for illegal use of government property.
Flattery will get you nowhere, but don't stop trying.
I've never been to Istanbul.
You've never been to Istanbul?
No.
Where the moonlight on the Bosphorus is irresistible.
Maybe I should get you to take me there someday. I've tried everything else.
Darling Moneypenny, you know I never even look at another woman.
Oh, really, James?
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you the secret of the world. Now, what do you know about gold, Moneypenny?
Oh, the only gold I know about is the kind you wear. You know, on the third finger of your left hand.
Mm. Well, one of these days, we really must look into that.
Well, what about tonight? You come around for dinner, and I'll cook you a beautiful angel cake.
Well, nothing would give me greater pleasure, but unfortunately, I do have a business appointment.
That's the flimsiest excuse you've ever given me. Ah, well, some girls have all the luck. Who is she, James?
She is me, Miss Moneypenny.
And kindly omit the customary byplay with 007. He's dining with me, and
I don't want him to be late.
So there's hope for me yet.
Moneypenny, won't you ever believe me?
In you go, sir.
Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, by the way, how was the girl?
Which girl?
The Chinese one we fixed you up with.
Oh, another 5 minutes that I found out.
She'll never know what she missed.
Miss Moneypenny, give 007 the password we've agreed with Japanese SIS.
Yes, sir. We tried to think of something that you wouldn't forget.
Yes.
I love you. Repeat it, please, to make sure you get it.
Don't worry. I get it.
Your passport is quite in order.
Well, anyone seeing you in that outfit, Moneypenny, would most certainly be discouraged from leaving the country. What can I bring you back from Holland?
A diamond? In a ring?
Would you settle for a tulip?
Yes?
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!